Well, I'm Dan Langevin. I'm now the Chief Commercial Officer at Sauf Voyage since, 2001.
Welcome to Voices of Travel, The Next Chapters, an interview series that captures the passion, humor, and character of 15 remarkable people as they tell us the stories of their careers in the industry. Thanks for joining us, Dan. How long have you been in the travel business?
I have basically been in the industry all of my life. Do you know why, Bob?
No, why?
My parents were both in the travel business, right? My dad owned a few franchises of budget rent-a-car, and my mom worked for Air Canada back home. So we grew up traveling and, being in the car rental business, what happens is a lot of cars get rented at the airport. And then once they come back on the weekend, everything has to be cleaned. And really starting when I was 11 years old, cleaning cars, and so that's a long, long time ago, started like that. And then I was working at the airport, renting cars. And then I started on the ramp at Air Canada, back home in Rouyn, Noranda, which is Northern Quebec. And then, I got the taste and that's what I wanted to do since day one. Once you have the chance to travel and you're young and you get a taste for it, it's hard not to continue doing it. So
you were at Contiki, weren't you?
I was at Contiki.
How did you get into Contiki? The tour operator side?
That's a good question. You want to know how? I was on a fam trip. I used to work back then for Canadian Airlines before the Contiki days, based in Ottawa. And I got picked out of a hat to go on a fam trip with Trafalgar Tours. And it was Stuart Jones. Do you remember Stuart G. Jones?
Yes.
G stood for gorgeous. Yes. And he was the president of Contiki Tours. And it was Stuart and I and 30 women. Crazy, having to handle all these people, especially these women on a trip, and we had a really, really good time. And of course, Trafalgar owned Contiki. And because they were looking to make changes and the fact that I had met with Stuart, they approached me and, the rest is history. I was there for 6 years at Contiki and I was young. I was 27 years old when I became the president of Contiki Holidays, working like guys like Doug Patterson. And, we had a young image. It's vacations for 18 to 35. So the image was exactly what it was. We were having fun. We wanted the agents to have fun. They wanted to perceive us as being fun. So the company, that's basically, we're doing fun vacations for young people all over the world. And that was probably one of the best jobs I've ever had.
Do you think the tour operating business has changed since then? Is it a different type of business now? Is the fun still there?
The fun's very much still there. Yeah, yeah. That depends on the tour operating business we're talking about, because you have the ITC style of business and you have the tour side of the business and many others in between. In my opinion, the tour side of things, like the Trafalgar and the Insights and the Contikis and the Globus family and the Colette Tours and all these guys, I think their business has not changed very much. I think the tours are a lot better than they were because there's more to do. You can do, before it was like a 10-day tour and there was no deviation. Now you can do a lot of deviation within an itinerary of the tours. You can do self-guided. So it has changed. But the core remains the same, the core remains the same.
Did you go from Contiki straight to Sauf Voyage?
No, hey, I had a couple, you don't remember this, eh? I went from Contiki Holidays to, back then it was called Giants. Today it's known as Ensemble. I was approached by the old president back then at Contiki. They were looking to make changes in Canada. And I took the job as the executive director for Giants Canada, 750 independent travel agencies. My first day on the job, believe it or not, that's when the commissions cut came from the airlines. On the Monday morning. Yeah, that was back in 1998. And, you know, I found that job to be very difficult. So touche to these guys that are still running these groups and this consortium, because I don't think it's easy. You have a bunch of single entities that are looking to do their own things, and you try to bring everybody together, because it's not just the commission club, you know, it has a lot more to do than. So I made a mistake taking that job, to be perfectly honest with you. I took it because of the money. And a year into it, it didn't work anymore. And we decided to go our separate ways, and that was it, you know. I enjoyed the people. I didn't like the actual job of what it was.
It was also at the time that the internet was arriving and travel agents were about to be disintermediated.
In 1995, when I was at Contiki, being a young company, I clicked a little bit what was going on. And I said, guys, we have to lock in the name Contiki.com. No. The internet. So I locked it in, Contiki.com. And when I left, they begged for it back, and I gladly gave it back to them.
Did they pay you?
The $25 change fee that it went from one name to the other, you know.
So then it was Soft Voyage, or is there more?
We had Golf Plus Vacations. Larry Finn and I had started Golf Plus Vacations. We sold a company at the height of the dot-com, you know, when it was starting to go down a little bit, a company called Travel By Us. And I was tired, you know, this was in August. And I came across the guys at Contiki, Steve and Moise, and they were real techies, you know, and real French Canadian, didn't speak much English. And I was blown away with what they had, you know. And one of the original customers was the Demarinas brothers with Bel Air. They were using the booking engine itself. So of course they were good acquaintances of mine. Now they become really good friends of mine. I went and saw them. They said, guy, these guys have unbelievable technology. So we did a deal. Steve flew in from Montreal. We went to the keg by the airport at noon. We left at 9:30 p.m. Then he flew back home. And the next morning on the fax, exactly everything we had talked about was on a fax machine. And that's how we started. You know, I came in as a partner. And because I could sell this stuff, these guys don't care. I'm the front line. They're in the back doing all the work. And it continues to be this way. Here we are 22 years later. You know, it's been a really, really good run.
Are you surprised at how successful Soft Voyage has been? Were you in the right place at the right time?
It's a combination, the right place at the right time, but it's a combination of the whole team. It's not just Dan signing, it's the ability to execute, the ability to make sure it works. You know, we're taking almost 30 million hits per day on our databases, and it has to work. And Soft Voyage earns money on bookings. So if it doesn't work, we're not earning any money.
So what was technology like back in the day?
The web wasn't what it is today. The fiber optic, the way the data was coming from servers to servers, was not the same. Like when we were coming into big tour operators, we had to literally go install a big pipe that big so we can actually query what was happening in their servers, you know? And now it's amazing. I mean, we have a lot of servers doing an awful lot of work. So yeah, it's been a really fun. I'm still enjoying it. You know, I'm in mid-50s now. During the pandemic, my wife and I ended up going to Florida. We're lucky enough to have a condo in Florida. And I thought it was going to be the beginning of the end, right? I really felt that way. It's completely the opposite that happened. I came back full of energy. I'm way too young to retire. And I still love what I do. I'm here talking to you about more. We've known each other for 30 years. Yeah, we didn't have white hair back then.
I want to talk to you about technologies and the changes it has brought to the industry. How dramatic have those changes been?
It's mind-boggling. Imagine the days where every booking was, you have to call a call center, and they didn't have systems. It was on the wall, and then it says, okay, flight 123, Toronto, Cancun. They used to have X's to say, okay, it's $198. An agent would take a call, write on a piece of paper, and go erase one of the seats because one seat or two seats were sold. That's how far we've come. Right now, everything, not only the booking, it's what happens after the booking. The changes, schedule changes, name changes, adding items to a PNR. All this stuff now can be done electronically. You know, and in Canada, we have a very unique style of business because we are very much ITC oriented, like the UK, like Germany. But the Americans, they are using dynamic packaging more. You know, they'll book the air first. Sometimes it's with, you know, a hotel already on a dynamic packaging, but typically they're two different separate transactions. And it's the same through all the Americas, you know, in Asia, there's no ITC style of bookings like we do here in Canada.
What about social media? How big an impact has it had on the industry in terms of changing the way agents and operators conduct business?
Maybe more the way consumers conduct business than the tour operators and the retailers, because in my opinion, we see it. A customer decides, I have two kids, let's say, and my wife, we decide to go on a vacation. What's the first thing we do? We're gonna go on Google and say family vacation to Mexico. And from there, we're gonna start narrowing down our search. And by the time we call a travel agency, we probably already made up our mind. So they'll tell you that often, what it was even 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it was probably taking 5 calls to complete one transaction. And now it's down to about 2 because the research has been done. And now they just want the agents to say, that's a really, really good idea. And from there, they start doing the bookings. You know, for us, we have to provide a savoyage as a technology provider to travel agencies across the country. We have to make sure we provide the right tools so they're able to answer intelligently the question from a customer that's just spent a week looking at Google about certain property. And our job is to facilitate, ease the burden that these agencies have in order to answer the customer correctly and do the transaction smoothly. You know, we invented something called TripBook. And TripBook happens after the booking. And the reason we came up with TripBook, Steve and I, Safwa Ashti, who's a CEO, we were in a conference in San Francisco and it was at the Hilton. It was not what happened at the Hilton. It's what happened after we did the booking, when we received the confirmation and says, while you're in San Francisco, you can do this. You can do an upgrade. You can go to that restaurant. And we said, oh my God, if we don't start giving tools to agents to do exactly the same, you know, it's going to be hard on them. And that's how we created these products. Once again, you know, to raise the level of professionalism.
Certainly the role of agents has changed from being order takers to being concierges, has it not?
A lot of it. But look, ever since you and I have been in this business, travel agents are done. Well, here we are, they're thriving still today. You know, travel agents will always be here. Mind you, the mass market type of business is often done online, either via a retailer website or directly to the supplier website. You know, it depends, but it's still there.
What about artificial intelligence?
Well, that's a good one, you know.
How do agents adapt to that? Adapt to AI?
I see it on the technology side, because if you go to ChatGPT and you say, okay, I want to go with Bob Mowat. We're going to go play golf in Alabama, and then we're going to go to Florida to see a concert. It's one thing to bring an itinerary using intelligence, you know, AI. The other thing is to actually book it. That is where the challenge is going to be, because we're just not there yet, you know, and AI will change. It will facilitate the life of travel agents. You know, we will be introducing tools to help agents using AI, but I haven't been able to figure out exactly, we haven't been able to figure out exactly what the impact will be on retailers. You know, another thing, Bob, on retailers, you and I sitting here 20 years ago did interviews. There were more travel agencies working at a travel agency office, right? And now that's changed an awful lot, right? Now we're relying a lot on ICs, you know, because agents went home with their book of business. They looked to a host agency, and it's just their life has become better. You know, they don't have to be in the office. They don't have to drive 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever the case is, in order to go to work. And that was a big shift after COVID. You know, it's probably over 65% of the agents now.
You remember the days when ICs were not really that welcome in the business. No one really wanted to touch them. And now they're accepted. Well, more than accepted. So what's changed?
The change, because back then the ICs were people off the streets that wanted to go on fam trips and hoping to have a little bit of a business on the side. Now these are real travel people that have been in the industry for a very long time, even new entrances, you know, so that the host agencies are able to pick the people they want, they're able to train them, facilitate TECO licenses, that type of stuff. So I think it's the quality that's changed. You know, it's back then, you know, even if you had 1,000 agency agents, you know, probably 50 of them came from the travel business. You know, now it's the opposite for some of them. You know, for some of them, it's probably 95% really come from the travel business. They've been agents. They understand what it's all about. And I think that's why it's changed.
So let's talk about some of the major events that have impacted on the travel industry. There's been Y2K, 9/11, SARS 1 and 2, COVID, multiple recessions, global meltdowns and whatnot, wars, political disruptions. Can you talk about how the external events have affected the industry?
SARS was hard, remember, because we had a lot of SARS cases in Toronto. People went into panic mode a little bit. Y2K did not really affect the travel business too much. I think to me was more of a hype, you know. But right now, everyone's talking about probably a slowdown in the economy, a quasi-recession. Well, I can tell you that the bookings are coming in big time. I don't know what recession they're talking about. I'm not sure if we're still talking about this huge pent-up demand that was due because of COVID, people that had travel credits and that type of deal. But I think we're resilient. You know, unfortunately, some agencies did not survive, and that's a real shame. You've seen a lot of mergers, you know, between 2-3 offices, and now they only have one office, but their agents are working from home a little more, and it's more like when you want to meet a client, you kind of book an office at the agency and that type of stuff. COVID was the toughest. I think COVID was the toughest. When you shut down the entire planet for a couple of years, that's tough. You know, no revenue.
All right, Dan, what's your best memory of the industry? Is there something that sticks out for you?
That's tough. I didn't expect this one, Bob, today. Look, I'm a very lucky guy, you know. Was able to travel an awful lot. Probably, we've done an awful lot of conferences. And you know, our business, still today, is super social. Super social. And in this business, during when we went to conferences, be able to create real relationship with people, you know, not just in front of a desk and behind a desk and trying to sell something or explain something. You're able to know people. And I know families, I know kids, I know as a result. So to me, still up to this date, the human contact, I'm here at Baxter's today. Well, you know, I know the people here because we've known so much of each other for so long. And that's what I treasure, I think, the most. One event in particular, Bob, on top of my head right now. I'm sorry, I can't answer that.
Okay, then. I'll ask you the opposite of that question. What's your worst memory of your time in the industry?
Oh, you're not making it easy on me, are you, Bob Mowat? I think is back in 2001 when we were selling our company that we have worked really hard to build and selling to a company that was publicly traded. And of course, the height of the dot-com was coming to an end. And that became very, very difficult because, you know, the economy sunk. And I found that time to be super difficult for me, very difficult for me. And at the same time, and then of course, 9/11 came, and I started with Saf Voyage in October 2001.
So it was golf plus vacations that you were selling.
Correct. Yeah, golf plus vacations. You know, I found that to be difficult. Larry are still great friends today. His wife Barb, they were amazing partners, amazing friends. So it was hard on us. That would be probably the worst. We're going back in history, 22 years ago now. That was probably the worst, more than COVID.
Was there ever a time when you thought you couldn't do this anymore? You had to get out of this business?
It's never crossed my mind. Never, ever crossed my mind. Because I have a lot of friends that are have jobs, you know, whether it's for a bank or whatever the case is. I don't think they're having as much fun as I am. You know, they always say, you're lucky, Dan. And you know what? I said that already a couple of times. I do feel lucky.
What about a mentor? A big influence on your career?
Well, I have to say that Steve Ringuet and Moïse Lévy, they are the co-founders of Softwatch, have been an amazing influence on me. Just the way they operate. They are amazing operators, honest. You know, everything is discussed. Nothing's yelled. We all talk. We all find solutions together. It's just been a really, really good goal. You know, the Demarinas brothers, you have to admire these guys for what they've done. You know, these guys are the real entrepreneurs. So I have an awful lot of time for them as well. And a gentleman, a real gentleman like Paul Foster, for example, who I've known for a long time as well. And I still enjoy having a drink with him. And he's still active. He's older now, but he's still very much active. And so I look up to these guys a lot. There's many other ones, you know, Jean-Marc Eustache, the Hunters, these guys have done a really good job.
Do you have any advice for someone who's thinking about a career in travel? What would it be?
You know, we talked about this yesterday at a meeting that was in Montreal. It's so hard to recruit people. My son, my youngest, who's 23 years old, is now in the business. He is in the business. He helped a company build this very sophisticated hotel program for them, APIs, blah, 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 blah. And he loves it. Don't expect to earn too much money at the very beginning. You know, you have to be... It depends. Are you going to be on the tour side, the wholesale side, the retail side? You know, it's a tough question, but my advice would be take it nice and slow, learn as much as you can, build yourself a good base of customers, and life's going to be good. You know, it's a good life. It's a very good life. Tons of our friends, Bob, they made a lot of money in the travel business. Some of them didn't make them rich, but they have very, very good lifestyles. You know, unfortunately, some may have been more difficult for them for whatever reason. Could be geographically the way you're located. New competitors, bigger competitors with more money coming at you or against you, you know, with big marketing dollars. Take it easy. It's going to come and work hard. That would be my advice.
In the next decade, what do you see as the industry's greatest challenge? What does it have to do to meet that challenge? In the next decade, what do you see as the industry's greatest opportunity?
It's all going to be tech-driven. It's all going to be technology-driven. If you think about it, it's not just the booking. Booking is one thing. You have the hoteliers, the way they sell attractions. You have airlines, the way it works today. We know the way the new systems are evolving. It's going to change, you know, it's going to change a lot. But I see technology drive everything, and of course, AI will be a part of it. How? I can't answer that yet. We can't figure it out exactly how it's going to be. But technology, you better embrace it. If you don't embrace it, you're dead. You'll be on the side of the road.
Thanks for telling us your story, Dan.
And thanks to all of you for joining me for this episode. I'm Bob Mowat, Executive Editor of Canadian Travel Press. And I hope you'll join me for another remarkable conversation on Voices of Travel, the next chapters.